This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 5, Episode 28, as there has been a storm surge in New York City, and the Carolina Hurricanes have just blown away the New York Rangers, up 5-1, as we are about midway through the third period. So Andy and I are back to kind of discuss everything. So a lot on the table here between World Juniors and just the New York Rangers and just, I don't know, the chaos around the league. So, Andy, I have to ask you, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing okay. Obviously not too happy with the way the Rangers are kicking off 2024, but at the same time, the fact that they are, James and I are recording this literally with 10 minutes left in the third period, and Carolina is up 5-1 on the New York Rangers. But I was just telling a friend today that it just felt like a scheduled loss. How hot Carolina has been, and just you just knew that the Rangers were going to do something stupid early, which they did. I don't care how soft the penalty was; it was just it would have been one thing if that was the only penalty they took. But you just kind of see the how lackadaisical they've been this game and why they put themselves in such bad spots in terms of not. You know, just reaching for pucks and trying to defend with their stick instead of their feet and that sort of thing. So, you know, scheduled loss, obviously, luckily for the Rangers, it's one of those things where they put them in a spot where when you drop these games, it stings. But at the end of the day, you're like, whatever, you just got to burn the tape and you got to hope that they respond on Thursday against the Blackhawks.
Yeah, and listen, we're in a tough spot. I mean, we went down to Florida, you know, played a game I thought we should win against the Florida Panthers. Had some, you know, unfortunate, you know, luck and bounces. And then, you know, you go and you bounce back and you play the next night against a Tampa Bay Lightning team that has kind of been underperforming. I mean, I didn't think Tampa Bay was going to be, you know, a team fighting for the one seed in the Atlantic, but they were definitely a team that you thought would be a little bit more in the mix here. You know, they're not obviously totally out of it, but, you know, in my opinion, to start the season without Vasilevskiy, you just thought they would be a little bit more consistent, even with the coaching and stuff. But, you know, they're a team that, again, is trying to get back on track, kind of like the Carolina Hurricanes. The Hurricanes, you know, but the Rangers went down there, they beat them, and, you know, you kind of feel good about yourself and the way you end the year. And then to come back home, you know, you're feeling good about yourself, probably a little cocky after you spanked the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Carolina Hurricanes team, who, you know, although they are in the, you know, the two seed in the Metro right now, you know, and picking up their fourth win in a row against the New York Rangers, they, you know, they're another team that has something to prove and they need to get back on track. And, you know, although they are the second seed, they have also played 37 games, which is two more than the New York Rangers. And that's still going to hold true after tonight. So, you know, again, they have a lot of ground to make up. They need to start to, you know, put together regulation wins to kind of jump back into, you know, the point percentage, you know, top three team in the Metro. So again, it's just, I don't know. This game, I knew it was going to be a loss. It's just the surging Hurricanes, the Rangers, who, you know, they haven't played bad, but they haven't played their best hockey. It's just the grind of the season. It's now January and it was just perfect timing. You know, I think the statement more so will be, how do they respond against Chicago on Thursday? At home, you know, one of the worst teams in the league. Yes, they have Bedard. You know, he's going to be excited, you know, to make his debut at the Garden. It's just how you respond. You got to put them away. You got to get a two convincing points in regulation and, you know, get right back on track, because, like I said, Carolina's figuring their shit out. The Devils are going to figure their shit out. You know, these teams like Tampa Bay Lightning, Carolina Hurricanes are going to start to rattle off impressive, you know, 10 game spans where they go, you know, 7-3 and, you know, 8-2. So yeah, Andy, you know, looking at the New York Rangers right now, obviously we're not playing our best hockey, but not our worst hockey. Are you worried about some of these teams underneath us, like Carolina and the Devils, starting to make their moves?
You know, I mean, I think for sure. I think the Rangers haven't had a slump really yet this year. They've had maybe tough two-game segments, but they've been one of the best. The reason they're the best team, or at least have the most points going into 2024, is because the way they respond after losses. I mean, we saw that with the Tampa game. We've seen that time and time again with this team. But, you know, they haven't really slumped yet. So that can still happen. So, and does it start to happen considering how high on the high horses they came into, they ended 2023 with? It's definitely possible. So luckily they've built themselves a pretty nice buffer in the standings. I mean, going into tonight's game, they lead the National Hockey League with 51 points in 35 games. Carolina is currently in second with, after tonight's game, they'll have 47 points in 38 games. So they'll still have three more games played than the Rangers. So there is a cushion for that. That's a result of basically how right things have gone for them so far. But yeah, you have to, you just have to hope the Rangers. This game does not concern me. If they lose against Chicago on Thursday, yeah, that will really concern me.
Yeah, it's one of those games where I think you feel like the New York Rangers have to win, and I don't know. I just feel like it's a game that you feel like they have to win. It's a game that, you know, you want them to win convincingly after a loss, and you know, this is the shit that, you know, you pointed to, you know, just earlier. It's just like, we haven't slumped yet, and we don't need a slump right now. It's just weather the storm, weather any injuries that you have, and just, you know, bounce back against a Chicago team that just flat out stinks. I don't care who they have on their team. I don't care, you know, what Bedard is able to do, you know, by himself. But they bounce back here and, you know, get back on track and get another 2 points. It's that simple. If you want to be the best team in the league, you got to act like it. And they've done so far this season. And they got to continue to do so. So, Andy, did I lose you, or are you still here?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. I thought you cut out for a second, and I got a little worried. So,
No, I heard all that. Yeah.
All right. And that's probably why I might have cut you off. But anyway, again, Andy, you know, Chicago should be a layup game for the Rangers to get back on track, especially after playing this stinker. You know, the trade deadline coming up, there's clearly needs that this team needs to address, you know, whether that's the bottom six, maybe that's bringing in another, defenseman, you know, goaltending's obviously been stellar. So, you know, when do we start hearing the rumblings and the rumors and the, you know, when does that shit start to pick up here?
You know, it's weird. I'll basically say what I say every season, in that I think it would behoove the Rangers to try to get out in front of things before bidding wars come up. But at the same time, I just have a feeling for the Rangers, it's going to be day of decision, because I don't really think it's ever been their MO or Drury's MO just to get out in front of things and make those trades early, you know, unless there's something they're waiting for. There's a chance that players that they covet might not be available for teams still, because as early as it is, I think a lot of teams that will be sellers still find them, think they're in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, especially teams that were underperforming, but you know, the way things are looking for the Kraken at the beginning of December and at the end of December are two totally different things. You know what I mean? Because now they're looking at, like, they have a chance to make the playoffs, and who knows, maybe a team like Nashville in the West falls out. That could be a good trade partner for the Rangers potentially. And then obviously there's some other teams in the East. I mean, it would, you can obviously make talks to the bottom teams in the league, but at the same time, it's like, you know, if there's maybe some players they covet and who are just bubble teams right now, and their fate will not be decided until closer to the trade deadline, when they know if they're really in or out.
Yeah, well, you know, I was going to ask you, I mean, their brothers in the NBA, they decided to pull off a big trade early. And I, you know, I was curious to hear your thoughts on kind of a big move there.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, the, you know, obviously Dolan owning the Knicks probably, you know, I don't know if he signs off on trades. Like, is that a thing? Cause I can feel like I can see him doing it with the Knicks, but I feel like he's got full faith in whoever runs the Rangers to kind of do their own thing. Since
yeah, I think Dolan gets his hands more in the Knicks pie than the Rangers pie, because I think he fancies himself more of a basketball guy. You know what I mean? And also, yeah, it makes him the most money. I would not. So, you know, that does not surprise me. It's... as far as the trade goes of Quickly and RJ Barrett for Jesus,
it's a tough one.
Yeah, I've always just say Anunoby for OG Anunoby from the Toronto Raptors, essentially RJ going back home to Canada, taking Quickly with them, which to me is the toughest part of that trade. Not so much giving up on RJ, because I think just based on the type of player he is, the makeup of the Knicks already, he was not exactly what they needed so much. But at the same time, you know, Quickly hurts. But again, he was a guy who needed to get paid, and probably he was blocked as well and wanted to make and would probably command starter money. So he'll get a chance to do that on a Toronto team that's still pretty good. You know what I mean? But as far as that trade, I think it does technically make the Knicks better. It feels like a little bit of an overpay, but I think he is kind of, Anunoby is kind of what the Knicks need. His defense off the ball is one of the best in the top five in the NBA. And that's the thing. I think if RJ Barrett is not putting up points and Quickly, you know, Quickly is okay off the ball, but RJ not so much, nil. And I think at the same time, you look at guys like, I think that's one of the things the Knicks really struggle with, you know, outside of maybe guys like Isaiah Hartenstein and Josh Hart. I feel like the rest of that team, they're off the ball defense, not so great, but the way Anunoby moves, and you basically saw it in his first game, just the way he, you know, was locking a lot of players on the Timberwolves down. Both teams won their first games when they're new players. So who knows? It could be one of those things that just made sense for both sides, and both sides are better for it. But I liked it for the Knicks, I will say that. But as that relates to Chris Drury, who knows? You know? Bet the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings app now and use code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem by calling 888-789-7777 or visiting ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. The NHL and NHL Shield are registered trademark of the National Hockey League.
You know, you always look for the New York Rangers to go do something. Are they going to be the first? Usually it's a domino effect where, you know, some team makes a big splash, and to be honest with you, like, you know, and I can ask you this question, you know, who's the team this year do you think pulls the trigger first? Like, and I want to hear your answer before I give you mine, because there's a team that's kind of a shocker that I think is going to be the first team to try to pull off, you know, something big. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts on what team starts the domino effect here.
Not to cut you off, but the Rangers just gave up yet another goal. And I'm watching Fox as he's basically on a 2-on-2 rushing to get back. And Bunting kind of tries to push behind him. And I see Fox throw his hands up, like trying to get a call while the play is still going on, and leaving basically Igor out to dry. Igor, who has been really shitty in this game, Igor basically has to pick a door. He picks the wrong door, slides, Bunting holds onto it backhand. So now it's 6-1. That's basically, in a nutshell, folks, what was wrong with this game. I saw so many Rangers like pearl clutching because they felt like they weren't getting calls and just expecting things were going to happen for them. Here's Igor with another almost giveaway. That's why they lost this game. That'll be probably the last I want to talk about this loss to Carolina, the 6-1, because, again, the Rangers were sharp, and worse than being sharp, I felt like they were soft and didn't skate. So, sorry, James, what were you asking me before I got pissed off and had to chime in really quick?
I turned it off as soon as we started the podcast. I'm like, yes. I'm going to end up.
There's still 3 minutes left, too.
Obviously it's over because of the score, but it was over just because... just everything, their body language, their effort, they weren't into it. And listen, whatever it is, this is as closest to that Washington game so far this season, where they just did not show up. But anyway, I was going to ask you, like, what do you think the first team is that starts this domino effect, you know, with the trades? And, you know, I have a team that I think is going to be not a shocker, but, you know, a team that people probably didn't expect. But I want to hear your thoughts on who you think. What team pulls the trigger?
Well, I think it's going to be teams that are trying to get in the playoffs because they're desperate. I think it'll be a bubble team. So I think if you look, looking at the NHL standings, I think you have to wonder if Lou Lamoriello, if the Islanders fall out, might do something. We've heard a lot of smoke about the Devils looking for a goaltender, so they might kick it off on that end. You have to, if Edmonton, who has been good but inconsistent, is still not in a playoff spot, they've been trying to claw their way back in. If they are not any closer, they might try to do something early to really shore something up. You know, those are teams like, when I look at teams that might fight to stay in the playoffs, I look at teams like the Oilers, the Devils. I guess if the Penguins don't really have much to trade, right? So I don't know if they could do it. Washington's an interesting one. I don't know if they should be trying to retool, but they might. And but the teams that I really think would go for it are early would probably be the Islanders, the Edmonton Oilers, and any of those teams that are currently in wild card spots right now, Tampa, the Nashville Predators, hell, the Arizona Coyotes, potentially, you know what I mean?
See, I disagree with you.
Really?
Yes. And the reason I disagree with you is because of what happened last year. And I think, in my opinion, I think the Boston Bruins are going to go out there first, and they're going to make sure that they get the player that they want. And, you know, I think it's probably, they're probably best off being the first team to go out there and do it. This way they can set the market. This way they can, concentrate on getting the player that they want. There's not a frenzy and where you wait till like the last couple players that are really truly on the trade block. And now all of a sudden there's a bidding war for those players. I think Boston Bruins, after what happened last year, are the first team to make a big splash. And I think, you know, as a Ranger fan, or anybody that from the East, it's going to suck because, you know, if you're not a fan of the Boston Bruins, you know, and they're the, you know, team going out there to get somebody first, you know, I'm not sure who they would get, but I think whoever they go after is going to be a little shocking. And, you know, I think they're going to try to make a move because they really picked up where they left off last year. Obviously, points wise and record wise, they're not the same team, but you're talking about, you know, historically the best regular season of all time, as opposed to this year where they're kind of just chugging along and knowing that they needed to just get to the playoffs and, seek some revenge after the first round early exit against, you know, the Florida Panthers, where they were clearly the better team, you know, they just let Florida back into the series, and before you know it, it's game seven, and you know, you're on the losing end where it's a coin flip. So in my opinion, I think most people will expect a wild card team, a team that's fighting on the cusp to try to improve. But I think it's going to be Boston. I think they're not messing around this year. Yeah, I think they're going to be the first person, first team to, you know, go out there. And I don't know who they trade with, but I definitely think they're going to be the first one. I can see them or the Florida Panthers. So those are my first two teams I think that will go after somebody. From the West, though, I don't even know. I mean, Vancouver obviously made a move earlier this year. I don't know. I can see Edmonton going after somebody if they can. They've won five in a row, and they seem that, you know, they're probably going to end up in a wild card spot. They have a game in hand. If they win tonight, they'll be able to, you know, say they're only I guess they could leapfrog essentially the Nashville Predators and just be 1 point behind the Arizona Coyotes. So, yeah, I think Edmonton probably from the West. But, yeah. What else you got, Andy? You got any World Junior stuff for me?
Yeah, I mean, in brighter news, a lot of World Juniors, the quarterfinals were played today by a bunch of expected and really unexpected decisions. I think obviously the key takeaway for today was Canada losing, getting eliminated from the tournament by Czechia. Literally the game tied with 2-2 with 30 seconds left in the third period, and off, and Canada had been pretty much just out shooting Czechia by a lot, but it was, you know, goaltending was making it stand up, and just a kind of nothing shot off the from the wall just basically deflects off. I feel like it deflected off somebody, like a little screen, and just goes right into Canada's goal, and they're eliminated from the tournament. But, you know, they had kind of underperformed for the tournament. Granted, I think people knew they weren't as strong. You know, they've won three out of the last four tournaments, so you know, but so it wasn't necessarily unexpected, but yeah, you know, just not, yeah, just not, you know, they weren't, it still seemed like they should have at least, that was a winnable game for them. So they're out. USA, pretty dominating performance against Latvia, but you know, Latvia, they definitely were skating with the USA. It just didn't have the overall top end skill that USA does, but You look at a lot of these countries, and I've really been impressed with, you can see that divide is lessening and lessening. You know, good performances in this tournament from teams like Germany, a few upsets here and there. You know what I mean? Slovakia was pretty good, although they lost, I believe, in overtime to Finland today. So Finland makes it to the quarterfinal. Big day for Rangers prospects. I mean, USA, the game kicks off with Drew Fortescue with a goal, and then I think the final score was 7-2, and big game for Gabe Perreault. He has two goals and a really nice assist in that game. So he was named player of the game for USA. So he seems to be heating up after maybe being a little quiet early in the tournament, especially now that the games are starting to matter. So yeah, huge. You have to like that if you're a Rangers fan. You know, they have now that the captain of Slovakia, Adam Shakur is no longer in the tournament. The Rangers still have two prospects in Fortescue and Perreault. And yeah, obviously Latvia is still not on the level of USA, but hey, we've seen some upsets. So, and you have to compete. So, yeah, it was good to see his game starting to come on in this tournament. I think he's only going to get better.
Yeah, no, it's good to see. I mean, this tournament's obviously always exciting. Unfortunately, I've only been able to watch, you know, a lot of the highlights and stuff like that. But, you know, again, for the Team USA, it comes down to every year. It's like you always feel good about them, and then they lay an egg against some of these teams, like just randomly. And, you know, I'm hoping that they can finally, you know, overcome it. You know, like you said, Canada's won the last three out of the four tournaments. So to see them go, obviously, is the second best thing besides the Team USA winning. Now that they're out, I mean, I don't want to say is, you know, the path right here, right now, like the easiest path for the New Yorker, the Team USA. Is there any other team besides obviously America that you could see, you know, kind of steamrolling right through into the finals and winning it?
Well, the until recently, the host, Sweden, has looked really good. They won their quarterfinal game in overtime today. So until, I believe, until I forget who their last opponent was, but they hadn't given up a goal in the tournament. You know what I mean? So I think Sweden and USA are basically the teams that you would imagine. I have to look at the brackets for the next games. Can I do
well,
that?
Well, it's right? Czechia versus Sweden.
I think, I think Sweden wins that game. I could see Sweden's definitely
Germany
better.
Germany versus Norway.
That'll be an interesting game. The German team is really impressed, and I've liked Norway's compete level. So, but I mean, it's, you know, well, and I say this, I could see Sweden and USA steamrolling their way to the finals. I could also see Finland, very New York Rangers-esque, kind of sneaking their way in there too. You know what I mean? Just based on the way they play. They've basically given Sweden their only upset or so far in the tournament. You know what I mean? Their only loss. So yeah, but I mean, it's, in my opinion, it's New York. It's the USA's and Sweden's tournament to lose. I mean, the host team has a lot on the line being the host country and wanting to play in front of their, get a big win. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, the Americans are the favorite with all that talent they have. You know, I think the one thing is they just have to maybe defend. They have to be more cognizant of the way they're defending. They do give up a little bit in terms of how aggressive they can be sometimes. So that's the one thing they got to look out for.
Yeah, no, it should be interesting. And this will continue on Thursday, I believe, is the semifinals. And then I don't know if the finals, I think they skip a day in between. But anyway, yeah, no, hopefully, you know, the USA can find themselves playing for the gold medal before the next podcast. No, it won't be before the next podcast. They play a minimum Thursday. So, yeah, so we'll have one more podcast in between, I guess, the semifinals and finals. But yeah, you got anything else? I mean, right now my energy level, Andy, is about equivalent to the New York Rangers tonight. So you if you got anything else, I'm like brain farting my way through this podcast. So
I mean, we have some very important news that you're really burying the lead here. The Hartford Wolfpack today announced that they've signed Artem Anisimov to a PTO. So I mean, I almost spit my coffee out when I read that at first, because at first I was like, what? At first, I think because, you know, it's my first day back at work after the new year. I almost read it as the Rangers at first, just because that's my brain works. But it, you know, it was just like a blast from the past seeing his name pop up. Everyone was obviously stoked. Everyone's posting the Anisimov, you know, the Road to the Winter Classic gun, you know, sniper move that started that huge brawl. I forget what team that was against, but was it the Hurricanes? No, I forget who it was, but it was very funny, a little blast from the past. And I saw on Twitter, it was Ryan Callahan had chimed in and had tagged Brandon Dubinsky and said, hey, Doobie, we should be expecting a call to get the kid line back together or whatever, which was very funny. So nice little blast from the past. And hey, who knows? Maybe somehow he'll some way find his way up with the Rangers this season if in an emergency call-up. He was a pretty good AHL player, at least as of last year. He has a history with Panarin. He played centered him and Kane, for a season in New York or New York. Jesus Christ. See, I'm getting all on the Rangers. I didn't come out with my best effort today. I'm still, you know, a little hungover from the new year. So, that's why I'm giving the Rangers a pass. Cause I'm coming into this not prepared, not very mentally sharp. The Rangers weren't sharp, but yeah, who knows? Maybe there's a chance we might have, Anisimov come up if he looks good, if then the Rangers have some injuries, because right now Johnny Brodzinski, the rose is off the what's the phrase, is it this off the bud, what you know what I'm trying to say, it was off the bloom, whatever, like that was a nice story for all of 2 minutes, and now I'm watching this guy try to make plays in the NHL, and I'm just like, just get this guy back to Hartford, please, you know, let's get some real bottom sixers and some real NHL talent, please. So that's all I got, James. You got anything else?
No. I mean, like I said, you know, obviously Team USA playing in the semifinals. Hopefully they can get a win and move on. The New York Rangers have a big game against the Chicago Blackhawks on Thursday. Hopefully they can bounce back, and hopefully you and I can bounce back as well. Yeah, just a long day today. First day back. I'm like shot. Not my best work today. I apologize. If you made it through this podcast, I don't know. Go reward yourself with, you know, something. I don't know. A beer or Snickers. I don't know. Anything. But yeah, Andy, you can sign us off here.
Okay. Well, happy New Year, everybody. It's 2024, which means anything that happened in 2023, good or bad, It's in the past, so you can either look upon it fondly in your rear view, or you can just look ahead because you don't want to look at the, you know, the flaming pile of tires that's behind you. Doesn't matter. It's a clean slate for everybody. And even if you stumble on that first step, like we clearly have and the New York Rangers clearly have, that doesn't mean shit. You can still have a great 2024. You make your own luck. Just got to keep doing the things that put yourself in a good position to be lucky. And things might just work out for you.